Our epistle for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Brethren, I pray that you not be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first place at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him, and he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man,' and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For every one who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. To know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? To know something that is beyond knowledge. When I was considering today's epistle and gospel, I kept going back to another account that we find in Scripture, the account of the rich young man. It says a certain man in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, running up and kneeling before him, asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may receive life everlasting?" That's a pretty good question, don't you think? A question that we should all ask ourselves. What do I do? What do I need to do? What am I doing for life everlasting? Christ responds and says, Why callest thou me good? None is good but one, that is God. And then he continues and states, "Thou knowest the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Bear not false witness. Do no fraud. Honor thy father and thy mother." But he answering said to him, "Master, all these things I have observed since my youth." And Jesus, looking on him, loved him and said to him, "One thing is wanting unto thee. Go, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Who, being struck sad at that saying, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. One thing is wanting of thee. When we consider the commandments, and that is what we find in the conversation that our Lord is having with the lawyers and the Pharisees in today's account, in today's Gospel of the Sunday, there are two things to consider. One is the spirit of the law, one is the letter of the law. Anything that we know of Scripture and the Pharisees, that Christ condemned them for living the letter of the law and killing the spirit. He said to them, "You strain the gnat, you swallow the camel." You don't allow people to go in, neither do yourselves enter. Brood of vipers. In today's account, just consider the picture. Christ is in the house of the Pharisees. The Pharisees and lawyers, all familiar with the law of Moses. And the whole law of Moses, everything you find in the law of Moses, was a preparation for the chosen people to receive the Messiah of the world. They were chosen, not because they were special from any other people, but they were made special by He who would come through their race. Promise made to Abraham. And here He was, the Messiah, sitting in front of them. And they watched Him. Why? What was the reason? Were they trying to learn? No. They were playing politics. They were trying to see if they could catch a problem with His words. Christ knew this very well. Why do you think He presents the question, "Is it lawful for one to cure on the Sabbath?" And it says, "Taku erunt." They remain silent. Our Lord turned it around on them, because if they would say, "No, it is not," then our Lord would probably tell them that the spirit of the law is greater than the letter, as they had heard before. Our Lord just goes, it almost seems like an afterthought. He heals the man, sends him away. And then He tries to explain to them, to teach them, in the practical world, about the supernatural world. There are things that you just do because you ought to do them. You don't hide behind so-called obligation, especially when that so-called obligation violates charity. You see, the spirit of the law is the law of charity. If you don't have it, it doesn't matter if you keep the commandments. Keeping the commandments does not make one holy. Keeping the commandments just means you're not a criminal. Christ doesn't tell us just to keep the commandments. He tells us to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. To truly be His disciples, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. We have to follow Him. What did He do? He went and gave up everything He was so that He could redeem us. As it were, He gave up His divinity, becoming man. Was it St. Paul says, "Christ, being God, did not see it something to be clung to, but abandoned Himself." Did infinitely more than He asks of us, or He asked the rich young man, "Go sell all you have, give to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." What are we willing to give to fulfill what is lacking in us? You know, St. Paul says that my sufferings make up for what is wanting in the sufferings of Christ. What does that mean? It means Christ left room for us to be a part of his redemption, of his act of redemption. We are supposed to be members of the mystical body of Christ, and as members of the mystical body of Christ, we must be willing to sacrifice ourselves, as Christ sacrificed himself to the very last drop of his blood. Why do you think Our Lady of Fatima, when she appeared to the three, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco, told them, so many souls go to hell because there's no one to sacrifice and to pray for them. This is our job. This is what we're called to do. We're called to spend this. What is it that we sacrifice? Selfishness. Number one thing. We make what we do each day an offering. Why do you think that those same three children were taught that prayer? Oh my Jesus, it is for love of thee in reparation for the offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary and for the conversion of poor sinners. It's a good reminder to us that if we're here just worrying about our own salvation and hope that somehow we're going to just squeak into the back door of heaven and make it, we're fooling ourselves. There's a job to do. If you continue along with the account of the rich young man, our Lord continues and it says, our Lord Jesus is looking around about, saith to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And it says, and the disciples were astonished at his words. And they asked the question, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking on them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. But you must be with God, and God must be with you and work through you for others. What is it that our Lord says? A seed must fall into the ground and die, or itself it remains alone. Grace must come within us. We must die to ourselves and let the light of God and his goodness shine forth through us to others. Not just being okay with, making sure I'm not breaking this commandment or breaking that commandment. If I do go to confession and whatever. No, we are called to holiness of life. And that only comes to the soul who really wishes to love God. And perhaps you cannot, not perhaps, absolutely you cannot understand the fullness of God's love, but you can start now, today, when through the eyes of faith you realize in whose midst you are in. Not just sit in the pew and look at our Lord like those Pharisees in their house watched him. We're not called to watch Christ. We're called to be one with Christ. What's that saying that we have for our parish this year? I live now, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. May you then know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge in order that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.